Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. COVID-19 numbers are rising again, and people will soon be congregating for the July 4th holiday in the high heat of summer. To talk about those subjects, Dr. Karen Landers joins us by Skype. She is a board-certified pediatrician with some 45 years of experience, and she replaces the recently retired Dr. Mary McIntyre as Chief Medical Officer for the Alabama Department of Public Health. Of course, Dr. Scott Harris remains Alabama's State Health Officer. Dr. Karen Landers, it is great to be able to talk with you and congratulate you on your new position as Chief Medical Officer of the Alabama Department of Public Health.
Thank you so much, Carolyn.
There has been a lot of discussion, as you know, over the past several years about vaccinations. I've been told that pediatricians are specialists in that arena, and it comes up for discussion when we're talking about the pandemic.
Yes, and as you know, by the nature of our specialty, and given the fact that vaccinations in the pediatric age group, again in the 20th and now in the 21st century, have been largely responsible for essentially eradicating a number of diseases in childhood and at least controlling some of those other diseases that I used to see as a very young physician. So absolutely, vaccination is truly a subspecialty, if you will, of pediatricians, and we consider that to be very much within our knowledge base to be able to talk to parents about this important subject.
Well, we see that the CDC has released its authorization for the mRNA vaccine to be given to children 6 months of age through 17 years.
Well, of course, we have had emergency use authorization for vaccine 5 years of age and above for COVID-19. So again, we're very pleased to see that the age range of 6 months up to 5 years has been added. I think this is a very important group to vaccinate, not only to reduce the risk of COVID, but also to deny COVID a reservoir, if you will, to deny COVID the opportunity to infect more people and spread more disease. Now, while children might not have had as many hospitalizations for COVID-19, it has been one of the top 10 causes of death in pediatrics nationwide. Just keep in mind that there is a post-inflammatory condition from COVID called multisystem inflammatory syndrome of childhood. We've had close to 150 cases in Alabama of MISC. This is a very severe disease requiring children to be hospitalized, and children may have heart involvement, lung involvement, kidney involvement, and other organ systems. COVID-19 is not a benign disease in everyone, and we need to do all we can to reduce the severity of this disease.
There is concern about adults who get what is called long COVID, in other words, after effects.
Yes, and we actually know that about 25% of persons 18 years of age and above can have long-term side effects of COVID. But I have seen some studies indicating that children can have long COVID in as many as 6 to 10% of cases. I actually had a friend whose adolescent child suffered from side effects of COVID for 2 or 3 months after their illness, such as fatigue, such as brain fog, not something you want to see in a child. Long COVID can be more than just a few months. Children can get more severe illnesses and more severe side effects from having COVID. And so we really need to try to do all we can to prevent this and reduce the severity.
Dr. Landers, here we are leading up to July 4th and all of the celebration and the observance of this patriotic holiday. We're going to be having high temperatures. We're going to be having people congregating. Share some advice with us about this upcoming holiday.
We talk a lot about the heat, and you're in the South. We're used to the heat, but keep in mind that anyone can develop symptoms of heat-related illness, the elderly and also very young children can be particularly affected by this. But I always remind people, like, be aware of what the temperature is outside, what the heat index is outside. Keep yourself well hydrated. Try to not be out, as my mother would say, in the heat of the day, which is between the hours of about 10 and 4. Certainly, some people have to work outside, but again, keep well hydrated, monitor the temperature that's going on, wear appropriate clothes for being outside, such as lighter colored clothes, loosely fitted clothes, wear a hat, you know, wear some sunscreen. Sunscreen's not going to stop you from having heat-related illness, but it would stop you from having a severe sunburn. So again, dress for the occasion, and then keep in mind that if you start having signs or symptoms of heat-related illness, feeling faint, if you are sweating profusely, if you feel that you are nauseated or starting to have a headache, go inside or go to a place in the shade and go to where you can get cool. And again, drink fluids like water or electrolyte fluids. I know this time of year, sometimes people want to celebrate and drink alcohol, but be very careful about moderation, because alcohol is not a fluid that is going to replace your needs in terms of hydration. And it also goes for caffeine. And a lot of people like to drink the caffeinated beverages, caffeinated soft drinks, etc. But, you know, just use some moderation there, and keep in mind that really when you're out in the heat, that water or electrolyte beverages are really best. And again, those other preventive measures that we talk about.
Dr. Landers, before we run out of time, the numbers of COVID cases are spiking. So give us some advice about getting with other people on the July 4th holiday.
Well, yes, and certainly we're very concerned that our COVID numbers are going up, but hospitalizations are still in a fairly reasonable range. I mean, we're a little over 350 hospitalizations, but that's nothing like 3,000 and that much higher that we had at the peak of our most recent surge. We are having hospitalizations, but we're not seeing the severity. We're not seeing the deaths, at least at this point in time. But that does not mean that COVID has gone away or COVID has gotten milder. So I absolutely tell people, when you're congregating together inside, be very aware of your community levels. We have those on our Alabama Department of Public Health webpage and also the CDC webpage. And it's really appropriate if you're in an area with high community levels that you want to consider wearing a mask inside, and especially if you're immunocompromised or you have other high risk factors, you know, consider wearing a mask. That's not a bad thing. And in fact, it does help to reduce the transmission of those droplets. And we absolutely want to do all we can to reduce transmission of respiratory droplets, but also keep our hands clean and keep our distance from people. Certainly, we still like to remind people about the social distancing and not being crowded up with a lot of people, and, you know, keep a little distance. And one thing that I really want to stress to people is stay up to date on your vaccines. Again, we now have vaccines, as you know, approved 6 months of age and above. So let's get vaccinated. Let's stay up to date on our boosters, and let's do all we can to protect ourselves from severe illness and even death from COVID-19.
Well, Dr. Landers, thank you so much for your time today. And again, congratulations on becoming Chief Medical Officer for the Alabama Department of Public Health.
Well, thank you, Carolyn. It's a true honor to serve the citizens of Alabama, and I certainly hope that we can continue to meet and exceed those needs as we work to protect the health of our citizenry.
Joining us by Skype was Dr. Karen Landers, Chief Medical Officer for the Alabama Department of Public Health, and more information can be found at their website, adph.org. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus, which is now a podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.